Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
All right, Brandon. Well, there you have it. The WrestleMania 38 Raw Go Home Show is in the books. So we'll start simple, or maybe it's not simple. I don't know. But what did you think of the final Raw build here to WWE's biggest show of the year coming up this weekend?
So a bit of mixed feelings. I think that they got a lot out of the talent tonight. I think that a lot of guys and girls came through in a big way to kind of send them home with some lasting impressions going into Saturday and Sunday. I think where WWE failed them and failed the crowd in a lot of respects is building up to a big main event segment again that just kind of goes nowhere. I mean, they did it in the last couple of weeks. They did it with a good Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens match that really made no sense from a storyline perspective. They did it last week again with Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, again, where it made no sense and they didn't give a finish, or at least a satisfying finish. And then tonight they do that tag team main event that you can kind of see it coming from a mile away, that the other tag teams involved in the two title matches at WrestleMania are going to get involved and lead us to a non-finish. And that's exactly what happened. And then not only that, it seems like they went home a little bit early. So you kind of see Randy Orton talking to the referee in between the ropes, and they've got to fill some more time. So they put themselves in a scenario with all of these shows, these last few weeks of shows, where the viewer could reasonably suspect that there is an avenue for Cody Rhodes to make his debut. And I don't like that I get that they're trying to hold an audience, but when you don't deliver and don't deliver and don't deliver, I think that there starts to be diminishing returns. And I think there's a lot to discuss in the way of, is debuting Cody as a surprise on Saturday the way to go with him? And is it even Cody?
Right. Oh, man. Well, that's I'm sure we'll get into that here in a little bit for sure. But that would be quite the curveball. I'm okay. Look, I mean, I don't know. As far as that goes, for me anyway, I have less of a problem with, you know, kind of the, I don't want to say stringing along, because that sounds bad, but because, you know, they're not promoting Cody, they're not promoting some big reveal. So, I mean, like, I'm okay with that. But I'm with you on the overall, like, tone of the show, though. I thought it had its high, and I thought the tone of the show and, like, the go-home hype here for Raw really kind of mirrored the WrestleMania build in general, where I thought, like, the stuff for the big matches was really well done. Like, I thought Roman Reigns was excellent tonight. Get into that promo. Brock Lesnar, same thing. I thought Bianca Belair had a good night. Becky Lynch had a good night. And then, you know, at the bottom of the WrestleMania card, then you had some questionable stuff. I thought the McIntyre stuff was just really silly. I agree with you on the tag team match. You could see it coming from a mile away. And not only that, you had, you know, the babyface team for Raw run in and attack the other babyface team. And I know they're opponents, but it's like, you know, that's not something the Street Profits, you know, would do. I mean, that's not in line with their character. So I didn't love that. And then, you know, the Seth Rollins stuff too, with the Vince McMahon meeting, I get it. They want this to be a surprise at WrestleMania. I'm certain it's going to be Cody, but you know, I was watching that segment and that video going, all right, for one thing, you know, a lot of the audience may or may not have seen that exact video just a few hours before it aired on Raw, for one thing. And then it's like you have, and I made this comment on Twitter too during the show, but you have like a 3-4 week angle with Seth Rollins where he's working and clawing his way and fighting and trying to, you know, get a shot to be on WrestleMania. And then, it's all, and at the very least, you could say for that angle that, hey, you know, they're building up the stakes of WrestleMania. It's a big deal to be a part of that show. That'd be the positive spin on the angle. Well, then tonight, they just kind of threw a bucket of cold water on that when it's just like, ah, just go talk to Vince McMahon and you're all good. So, you know, so when I say, like, I think the show had its moments for sure, and I want to get into those, but there were some misses here too.
Yeah, I think that the Rollins stuff that you bring up is something that I'm sure we're going to get to a lot tonight, but it has been sort of the bane of my existence in terms of my WWE watching in the last several weeks. I was last on this post show 3 weeks ago with Wade, and Wade was a lot higher on it than I was. And I laid out my reasons for really, really disliking the angle that they were taking with Rollins. And I got some pushback and some agreeance, and I thought, you know, maybe they'll win me over in the coming weeks. And I ended up going harder in the opposite direction. I think that what they did with this angle was counterproductive. I thought it asked the audience to completely, completely suspend disbelief beyond a reasonable level that you expect in pro wrestling. I thought it treated the audience like they were stupid. And then at the end, they just threw it all out by doing exactly what you said. You know, Vince just telling Seth that, hey, if you wanted a match, pal, all you had to do was come and see me. And at the end of the day, that's really the case. Nobody believed that Seth Rollins wasn't going to find his way onto the WrestleMania card. And there were pieces to the story along the way where they tried to make it work, where dating back to 3 weeks ago, you had that excellent triple threat tag team title match in the opener of Raw. Mm-hmm. And they sold that match on the idea that the champions were undoubtedly going to be on the WrestleMania card. And that's how you can guarantee your spot on the card, is by being a champion. Well, we look to WrestleMania this weekend, and two champions are not on the card. So that means that being a champion did not guarantee you your spot. Can you really tell me that this RK-Bro and the Street Profits against Otis and Chad Gable is really worthy of a spot on the WrestleMania card? And furthermore, how did Otis and Chad Gable end up in that match if you have to earn a WrestleMania spot? They didn't. They lost their match against RK-Bro. They're no longer the champions. So what claim do they have to being in that match? And you can do that with so many matches on the undercard and pick apart the whole idea that you have to earn a spot on WrestleMania. They did it again tonight, where Bobby Lashley just showed up and accepted Omos's challenge. Why couldn't Seth Rollins have done that? Why couldn't Seth Rollins have partnered with any wrestler in the back and hopped into a tag team title match? They don't have any explanation for that, so it's not believable that up until going to WWE headquarters to beg Vince McMahon to be on the card, that Seth Rollins would just be omitted.
Well said. Absolutely. And I think a really good articulation of like the lows of this go home show tonight. You know, let's touch on this now briefly, and I'm sure we'll get to it with some callers too. But Cody, let's take the rumor out of this and just look at it as, okay, Vince McMahon is going to introduce Seth Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania. I mean, is that, when you hear that, Brandon, are you saying to yourself, wow, like, this is going to be a big story, whoever Vince McMahon brings in, whether it's Cody or somebody else? Or is it just, oh, they want this person to be a big deal, so Vince McMahon will introduce him, and then we'll never hear any sort of connectivity between the two moving forward?
I guess I think it's going to be more the latter, and with it being Cody Rhodes, I kind of want it to be. It really depends on how they're going to frame Cody, because I mean, Vince McMahon is the guy who saw Cody Rhodes as nothing more than a Goldust ripoff. So it's hard to imagine them pairing the two together, especially when Vince has his thing with Austin Theory already. I also think it's really curious that Cody is going to be immediately tied to Vince McMahon in a way, because we have to assume that Cody Rhodes is coming in as a babyface to face a heel Seth Rollins, but associating himself with Vince McMahon right out of the gate, whether it's just to introduce him or not, having him in that, you know, in that situation at all, to me is sort of heelish. And McMahon is already aligned with Austin Theory, who is a heel. And suddenly Vince is just no longer involved in that Theory and McAfee story. I mean, it just, there's so much nonsensical stuff going on that just got thrown together. And a lot of what I was feeling watching the show tonight is just how many matches they had to throw together to fill two nights. And it just feels like the creative is catching up with them.
Yeah. Yep. I think you're right. I mean, it's a lot of hours to fill. That's for sure. And, you know, I think in that environment, you know, you're just not going to have every single match where you want it to be from an intrigue and storytelling standpoint. Let's open up the phone. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's no real happy medium either. It's like, would you prefer a six to seven hour show or two nights where you get a lot of filler? And I don't know the answer to that. I think personally, I err on the side of one night that is loaded from top to bottom. And yeah, guys get left off the card because it's
definitely
WrestleMania. Yep. And you know, WrestleMania is not the time to give out participation trophies. And with that being said, do I support, you know, the entire roster getting a WrestleMania payday? Absolutely. But they don't have to be on the card to get that.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you on that. One show, you know, is the way to go. I think it feels a little bit more special that way too, but you know, we'll see. I don't know, you know, if next year's show is slated to be two nights. I think that's yet to be determined, but we'll see. I mean, this is what, 3 years running for the two?
Yeah,
two
I think
shows? Okay.
This year was originally slated to be one night. And then as they started to announce like ticket on sale dates, that's when they shifted to two.
Yeah. 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 So we'll see on that real quick here, Brandon, before we get to callers, and we'll definitely speak to a lot of callers about all these topics, but you know, look, no question about it. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar is the, you know, one of the more intriguing WrestleMania main events of the last handful of WrestleManias, I'd venture to say. And, you know, I think to me, WWE was trying to walk the line tonight of, okay, we want these guys to appear on Raw to help build this, but we don't want to give away everything because we've got SmackDown also. And I thought Lesnar and Reigns both hit home runs as far as that was concerned. I mean, you got the Brock Lesnar character out there in front of the audience, the crowd reacting to him. He was able to talk about what he's going to do at WrestleMania. Short, sweet, no interruptions, no kind of interference, just him out there with the microphone selling the match. Later on, Roman Reigns does the same thing, but from the heel perspective. I thought tonight was a really good and smart way to build that match with one more show to go.
I completely agree, and I think this should be the go-home for that feud. I don't think they need them on Friday night. They have the sort of undercard of WrestleMania booked for Friday night. They're doing the Battle Royal and a couple of other things. They can show clips of their respective promos from Raw. I don't think they need any more for this match. I think Roman Reigns and his promo put the stamp on it, and they can just head into Sunday. I think that, you know, for all the complaints that I certainly do have about how they've built this year's WrestleMania and how the final card looks, I think that they've done a heck of a job with this match in making it feel fresh, in making it feel like a big-time main event, and in making it really feel like a WrestleMania main event. I still wonder how they come out on the other side, having one world title, but then you hear the rumor, of course, that they're looking to have two world titles going forward. So how do they book themselves out of that is, I think, a point of intrigue and potential downfall of the conclusion of this match. But otherwise, I think they've done a great job, and it's going to be a heck of a main event.
I agree. Very good. Okay, let's pause right there. We'll set up the show here, and then we'll start taking some calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the March 28th, 2022 edition of Monday Night Raw. I'm PW Torch, assistant editor Zach Cadorn, filling in for Wade tonight. He'll be on the VIP side of things with the Wade Keller Hotline, running down all things Monday Night Raw, and you can check that out by going VIP, pwtorch.com/goVIP. If there was ever a time to go VIP and to give us a shot. This is the week. We've got content all week long on not just, you know, WrestleMania, but all of the WrestleMania week and weekend activities from the independent shows that are there, Ring of Honor, and the Hall of Fame, and so on and so forth. So now, give us a try, pwtorch.com/goVIP, for a host of specialty VIP podcasts, ad-free version of the website, archives, and so much more. Well worth your time, and hopefully you'll give us a shot. The other voice you hear tonight with me is pwtorch.com contributor Brandon LeClaire. Brandon, great to talk to you, man. Are you ready for WrestleMania week at the Torch? Hopefully you have some sleep backlog.
I am as ready as I will likely ever be. I actually so it's been a crazy few weeks for me. I actually the last 2 weeks I've had shows in Boston. So it's been like Boston once a week for me, and so that causes me to lose a bunch of sleep. And then this week is my 1 week off, except for this WrestleMania coverage. And then 2 days at, or 3 days after WrestleMania, actually, I am going to my very first AEW show. So lots of wrestling for me in the next 2 days or so.
Yeah, boy. It's called Red Bull, Brandon. You might need to get yourself something.
You know what? I can't do it. I can drink coffee all day long and it will not affect me, but give me like one sip of an energy drink and I feel like I'm having a heart attack. So,
then scratch that idea. But you're going to be doing some really great work this weekend. So make sure to check out Brandon's coverage. We'll talk about it more later, but he'll be covering both nights of WrestleMania live as it goes on, typing feverishly at pwtorch.com. So you guys have that to look forward to this weekend.
Go ahead, let him know what you wrote me into.
You will also be graciously covering The Undertaker heading into the WWE Hall of Fame Friday night. Brandon stepping up and knocking that coverage out like a million bucks, like he always does. So, I mean, that plug is pretty healthy, right?
Yeah. I'll take it.
Okay. Good. All right. The phone lines are open, folks. 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Go ahead and press 1 if you're listening and you want to get in on the conversation. You can also shoot us an email if you don't want to talk. WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com. That's WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com. We've got some good emails in there that we'll get to here in a little bit. But with that said, we'll go ahead here and take the first call. Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland, you are up first. Ryan, welcome to the show. What did you think of Monday Night Raw tonight, man?
It was a pretty good show getting into WrestleMania. And my first question is on Roman Reigns. He mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin smashing him. How he's going to smash him, you know, and patient sometime this year, or even – is that something that could make Austin come out of retirement since he didn't want to do it with Owens?
Oh, man. Yeah. Brandon, tonight was like, you know, dodge the what chant night for that audience. They really laid it on thick. And both Brock and Roman Reigns had kind of like off-the-cuff remarks about Steve Austin. I thought
completely different ways of going about it.
Absolutely. It was really, really fun to watch them kind of manage their way through that on the microphone. Roman Reigns, I thought particularly was interesting because he is the heel in that situation. He doesn't have to kind of show Steve Austin pseudo respect playing the character that he's playing. So I thought that came off well. I mean, Ryan, like, I'm always just inclined to say that, you know, Steve Austin will not be coming back for a match anytime soon at all at this point. Like, I just don't think that's in the cards for him. At the same time, you never say never in the wrestling business. And I mean, of anybody that Austin could come back for to work with, I mean, Roman Reigns at this point, Brandon, has to be at the top of his list.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think if Austin didn't come back for Punk and Austin didn't come back for Cena, I don't think, you know, at this stage of the game, at his age, he's going to come back for Roman Reigns. It would certainly be interesting. And of course, we can sort of fantasy book all day, like dream opponents for Austin in Austin's heyday. And I certainly would have loved to have seen Austin get more time in the ring. But at this stage, I don't think that we will see them have any sort of match. I thought that more so Reigns' comment tonight was a way to combat the what chance, and it sort of felt off the cuff, and a way to elicit some boos, because he was getting cheered a bit there when he initially came out. So I just thought it was, you know, a smart move promo-wise for Roman, and I don't see it going any further than that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, it would be fun to see them, like,
oh, sure.
I don't know, like to have a match, yes, but even like a little confrontation, I think would be interesting to see, even if they just cross paths backstage at WrestleMania or something like that. But yeah, Ryan, I just don't think that's in the cards at this point, as exciting as that may be. But back to you for any comments on that or your second question for us tonight.
My second question is on something Corey Graves said tonight. He mentioned his little brother, not by name, but he was clearly talking about him in the Logan Paul segment. So he's also, I've seen him a number of times on local independent circuits around here. So is there any possibility he could be coming to WWE? I know he had a contract a long time ago and they cut him for some reason, but do you think Corey's maybe influenced them to hire him sometime this year?
Well, I think, I mean, look, I don't know for sure, and I'm not too familiar with his work, but Corey Graves, to me, it slowly but surely picking up influence in the company. I mean, he's one of the more tenured talents on the announce team. He's been through, you know, the NXT system, you know, and now he's spent a considerable amount of time in top spots on the announce team, on top shows with top matches. So, I mean, I think he has some pull, and if his brother is talented enough, like I Brandon, I don't know why he wouldn't be able to finagle him into a tryout at the very least, but to at least get the WWE machine's eyes on him. I don't know for sure though. Do you, Brandon?
No, I haven't heard anything one way or the other. I certainly think that he likely has some pull at this stage of the game. I would imagine that if that is something that his brother wanted and he was, you know, at least fit the part looks wise, I can't see why they wouldn't give him a look. I think that Corey has, you know, sort of ingratiated himself into Vince's good graces, and I'm sure he's got connections.
Yeah, well said. Ryan, your third question for us tonight.
My third question is on Rey Mysterio and Dominic. I guess they're doing a storyline where Dominic is trying to earn the mask. And the question is, how exactly did Rey Mysterio earn his mask in Mexico? Did he have to defeat someone to get that? Or was there like a storyline? And what could Dominic possibly do to earn his mask?
Yeah, Ryan, I'm really glad you brought this up because Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this is a new nugget to that story, correct? Like Dominic getting the mask, like earning the mask. Like I felt that like that kind of came out of the blue this week, and Cole just kind of mentioned it, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's new. Is that how you read it as well?
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those things that like it came out of nowhere, like so much so that it almost felt like Cole just sort of ad-libbing on the fly, but you know that, like, that is too serious of a commitment for Cole to
right.
be done. So, like, he definitely got that direction, but it totally felt like just an off-the-cuff comment.
I thought so, too. I thought it was really bizarre because the story to that point has not been that really at all, and now they're dropping that in there. And then on top of that, you have – Michael Cole kind of selling that story of like, okay, hey, Dominic's got to earn his earn the mask or whatever. But then, like, to me, the heels kind of saw some comeuppance today, like with the angle that they shot today, which kind of leads me to think that I don't know how much is left for the Mysterios to gain at WrestleMania this weekend, rendering Dominic maskless at the end. So I don't know what to make of all this. Do you like the feud, Brandon, or no?
I mean, it's fine for sort of like mid-card celebrity WrestleMania fodder, but I thought, similar to you, I thought they kind of put a bow on it tonight. Like it felt like Ray and Dominic got their win over Miz. Logan Paul just kind of stood by, like he – you know, didn't really know what to do. Why are we to think that anything is going to be different come Saturday? Like, it just felt like tonight was the conclusion of the feud, and now there's no reason for them to wrestle on Saturday. So, yeah, it was an odd storyline choice to go as heavy as they did with Ray and Dominic sort of getting their revenge and Miz and Paul getting their comeuppance. I'm not sure what the decision for that was. The only thing that sort of makes sense to me would be if you're going to finally pull the trigger on a turn on mm-hmm. Dominic turning on Ray, then you can give that happy moment tonight only to pull the rug out from underneath at WrestleMania. Yeah. But by the same token, why introduce this mask storyline if that's where you're headed?
Exactly. That's a good little nugget though to point out that, you know, WWE has been hot and cold and on and off with like the Dominic and Ray, you know, butting heads story. I mean, that's been on and off for, gosh, what feels like years, a year at this point.
Literally since Dominic got to the company. Forever.
Exactly. And so it's like that, I think, is always on the table because of that. But, you know, I don't know if the mask thing's a red herring. I mean, you could certainly, I don't know if Dominic has heel in him. I mean, he has such a, like, just a baby face look to him and moveset, et cetera. But I mean, I think you could have, you can address the mask storyline that Cole laid out today in a heel promo from Dominic, say just dismissing the mask and talking about how meaningless it is anyway, you know? So I think you could still go down that road. I think that's something to watch, Brandon, because that would make tonight's booking make sense, because outside of that, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Ryan, on your point with Rey Mysterio, and Brandon, again, correct me if I'm wrong on this too, but I don't believe that there was a signature angle in which he got the mask. Rey Mysterio's career started, you know, in the lucha style down in Mexico. So I think he just had the mask all along and brought that with him on, you know, his ride.
Yeah, nothing that I recall.
Yeah. Ryan, back to you. Any other final comments or closing remarks tonight?
Well, my final comment is Michael Cole implied that he was maskless in Mexico and then earned the mask. And my other point is, Jim Cornette is very high on Corey Graves' brother, because I went to a show where he was a judge for matches and spoke like after the matches. And the only people that good reviews was Corey's brother and Lee from AEW. And you saw Lee's been pretty good in AEW.
Yeah, he is. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Corey Graves does have pull. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in the system sooner than later, Ryan. Thanks so much for the call, man. Make sure to call again. And it was good to talk to you as always.
Okay. Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely. All right, we'll go next to Kyle in Baltimore, Maryland. Kyle, you are up. Good to talk to you. What'd you think of Raw tonight?
Right. Yeah, it was. It was kind of have it kind of fast in a lot of ways. It's kind of like it was on and then it was over. It felt like kind of have it kind of fast. It was a really odd for a 3-hour show, but there's a lot happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think what I get to was two things. First is the Becky and Bianca feud at this point. For me, I'm a bigger fan of Becky than I am Bianca. I have a feeling Bianca may win the title at WrestleMania, which is fine. But this feud overall, it goes back to SummerSlam, and they've been mentioning that. It's such a weak story at this point. And let's just say Bianca wins. People will be excited for it in the beginning for the next Fortland. But I don't know. People, they may turn on her just like people turn on Becky Lynch. I personally don't, because I'm a Becky Lynch fan, and no matter what she is or what she's doing, but it just seems like to me, it's like, oh, and also another thing too is that the fact too is that Becky also did what she said last week of her being just doing what Bianca did to her, and in terms of her wiping her with her hair, having her just damage in her throat, which I don't know how that happened during a lot of that. And so what Becky did last week was payback. And so then what Bianca did tonight, just cutting Becky's hair, is like, really? It's like, why? It's to the point where it's like, that's what Becky would do to you, not what you would. So I honestly didn't like that. I'm to the point where I have a feeling that Bianca may win, but I'm really hoping that Becky retains, because this feud does go back to SummerSlam, but it is a match I'm looking forward to a little bit more than Charlotte and Ronda, just because I like Becky and Bianca more. But what do you think about this entire feud in general? Because to me, I just feel like that it's just such a waste, and if Bianca wins, fine, but it's just, I don't know, it's been lazy, it's just been, people just said, let's just have Bianca win because we'll have it at SummerSlam. That's pretty much what it is. So that's how I feel about it, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm considerably higher on the feud than you are, Kyle, and it'll be interesting to get Brandon's take here to kind of push the needle one direction or the other for the show tonight. But I've liked generally what they've done top to bottom. I think they started off on a rough foot with Becky, you know, turning heel on Bianca Belair. Nobody really wanted to boo Becky Lynch. And you know, if you're looking at that and you're trying to play the WWE side of it, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, Becky Lynch has more interesting opponents as a heel than she does as a babyface at this point, because she's faced a lot of the women's roster as a babyface. So
I'll say this
real fast, keeps
that
her a little
I'll say this real fast too. I don't mind Becky as a heel. I actually like her as a heel. I'm just thinking, just as a storyline perspective for this situation, seems as so that's the thing that just so
well,
is lazy for me. For like to me, but that's kind of what I'm saying.
Like the her turning heel, like you were swimming upstream on that. And I think it took a lot, maybe not for you or for me, because I think she's done some good work as a heel too, but just generally speaking, I think it took a lot to get her over the hump as a heel and really get somewhat consistently booed on a week to week basis. They've got her there for the most part. There's cheers here and there because she's a big star, and that's usually how, you know, fans react to stars in WWE, even the heels, even Roman Reigns. But when it comes time to get booed, she gets booed. I thought their rivalry to me has a personal feeling to it. It's got some intensity to it. There's some drama there. I thought both Becky and Bianca like cut really solid, respective kind of, you know, nail in the coffin promos, Becky last week and Bianca tonight. So all that, I think, builds this thing up as one of the hotter WrestleMania matches that they have. Where I do agree with you, Kyle, is on the hair cutting angle. And I took the exact same perspective as you, which is like, that's not, you know, what Bianca Belair would do. I would have much preferred, you know, them wrap up the angle tonight just with the KODs, Bianca walks away, looks at the belt, and then you put the story to bed and you go on to the match. But that's, you know, one misstep in a lot of base hits. I've enjoyed this. Brandon, break the argument here.
Yeah, so a few things to unpack here. I think that we're probably, even myself to a certain extent, underestimating how important Bianca Belair has been to the rise of Becky Lynch as a heel. Because really, yeah. until Becky got heavily involved with Bianca again, she was not getting booed by a large portion of the crowd. And I think that Bianca, being as talented and being as over as she has become, over the last year or so, has really helped solidify Lynch as a heel in this role. And I don't even know that I would have said confidently that they could have pulled this off when they started to go in this direction. Because when Lynch took the title from Belair under some pretty, you know, cheap circumstances, all things considered, the crowd didn't care. I mean, ultimately, they were siding with Becky, and there was definitely some heat on the promotion for the way that they booked it, because I think they really wanted to cheer both women. But they've done a good enough job to dig themselves out of that hole and get themselves into a position here where I think this is a match that people are interested in seeing, and it does feel like a worthy WrestleMania title program. I think that Belair has done an admirable job with most of her promos leading up to the match. I think that Becky has done a really, really good job. I thought her promo last week was excellent and to me the highlight of this feud so far. I probably could have done without overall them going the route of, you know, Belair shoot damages Becky's throat, so they go with a storyline where Becky does the same thing. I just don't think that it really needed that level. So I could have done without that, and I certainly could have done without the hair direction tonight. I thought that not only was it unbecoming of both characters, but it put them in a really precarious position going into Saturday. Because to me, this felt like a clear moment for Bianca Belair to beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, get her win back from SummerSlam, prove that while SummerSlam wasn't necessarily a fluke, it certainly wasn't a fluke that Bianca was champion. And I thought that that was a really important moment for the babyface character of Belair to have. But tonight they went so far in the direction of Belair getting the shine over Lynch that now it feels like Becky Lynch is more likely to go over just to sort of protect her in a way. And I don't know if that is a red herring, and I don't know if that is maybe now the right call because they went so hard in the other direction with Belair. But I'm left a little unsure, and I feel like it's a little bit shaky ground, whereas going into tonight, I thought it was pretty cut and dry. Belair should win this match, she should get the title back, and Lynch should move on to something else and maybe even go babyface.
Yeah, the one I agree, and I agree on like the angle tonight and what it does to kind of the tone of the outcome at WrestleMania and what direction that might go. You know, I wasn't a fan of the angle just because it's not consistent with the Bianca Belair character to do that. And I think it's, like you said, unbecoming is a really good word. And maybe not so much for Becky Lynch because she is the heel, but definitely for Bianca. What it did do, though, is because you had Bianca eat a couple chair shots again. So she, you know, that she took some damage, but then like the big angle was all her, you know, and her, you know, getting one over on Becky Lynch. So if you're looking at like WWE kind of hiding the outcome, that the angle did do a good job of protecting them in that regard, where it's just not as obvious sure. anymore if you're going to look into the booking the way we just did. So, you know, for better or worse, I mean, they have that going for them here. Kyle, back to you. Any other comments on our comments or a different topic altogether?
Yes. Yeah, it's just, to me, it's just I think for me, I've just been more of a, you know, I think it's because of me watching Becky a lot longer than Bianca was 18 when she first debuted to Raw. And so I've been, you know, and it is what it is with that. I think I'm doing this out of favoritism, I feel like, for me anyway. But I really do like Bianca Belair. I think Bianca is really good. I really did enjoy her as champion last year. I think it was really entertaining. I think I'm a fan of Bianca as well. And, you know, I think as a feud, I am more invested into this feud than I am Charlotte and Ronda, just because I'm just a bigger fan of both women here, and then what they were with Charlotte and Ronda. I think that's completely been so booked very, very, very poorly in terms of everything about that. I just don't really care about that at all. We'll see what happens. A lot of the Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins thing, man, I mentioned this before. I'm not a Cody Rhodes fan, because I don't watch AEW. I mentioned this before on here as well, like when I called in. And so for me, I still view Cody Rhodes as a mid-carder, and then he probably won't be. But with Seth Rollins, though, he has to win because like you said earlier, when was the last time Rollins had actually won at WrestleMania? Was it WrestleMania 35 when he won the Universal Championship? Then ever since then, he lost in 2020. He lost last year. He hasn't really been all through last year that really has a that credible opponent anymore in terms of a, you know, lot and losing to Edge in a feud and losing to Roman Reigns that I didn't count in, which I thought was going to lead to a triple threat match with Reigns, Lesnar, and himself, kind of like what he did at WrestleMania 31, but it'll be a longer match. So it's just the entire thing with Seth Rollins has been just so the way he's been booked throughout the year has been great, and then he just comes to the point where he's forced to be in a tag team to get himself at WrestleMania. That's to face Kevin Owens to get a talk show from Steve Austin. He has to face Styles to face Edge again. So it's this entire thing just gets to Cody Rhodes potentially. I think my thing is that if Cody Rhodes does show up at WrestleMania and they do that match, I'm guessing what's long term for Cody Rhodes, because I can't see him. And people say that he should be booked in a top star way. That means go after the champion. If that is Roman Reigns, that is, I find honestly laughable. Him being Seth Rollins. B, potentially, if it is going after Roman Reigns, I just don't see that. So what do you think about that entire thing with Cody Rhodes? He was so hype about this, but I'm trying to be realistic here, being like, let's be honest here. Cody Rhodes has not been seen as a top star. Why all of a sudden it's going to end up being a change? It's not like AJ Styles where he just comes in like that. So what do you think about that entire situation? Because that's what I feel like to me.
Good topic, and a lot to digest there. So Brandon, let's take Seth Rollins first, because I think I've been on this, you know, in terms of analyzing WWE, like what it's always important to have top stars, right? That game hasn't changed. You need top stars to draw eyeballs, but in the WWE landscape now, where you've got countless hours of programming on television that generates a lot of revenue for the company. You've got content up and down Peacock. You've got licensing all over the place with different, you know, different partners. And being somebody that Vince McMahon can count on to deliver in all of those areas is something that he wants in his stars. That's why Kevin Owens gets the contracts that he does, and Sami Zayn gets the contracts that he does, and why Riddle, I think, is somebody that Vince McMahon looks at and goes, yes, this guy is good. I can do something with that. AJ Styles has folded into that role nicely. And Seth Rollins is now there too. He's a lot more on that level right now than he is the Roman Reigns level and the Brock Lesnar level, but that's not to say that he's not a valuable star on Monday Night Raw each week. But because he is right now anyway, on that level of the Kevin Owens, the AJ Styles in that tier, like I don't think a loss to Cody Rhodes really damages him all that much. Like, I think he's pretty Teflon as far as that goes, because he's just not a protected guy like Reigns is. But that, again, I say that, but I also just say on the other side, that doesn't mean that he's not a very valuable piece of the company.
Yeah, I think that you have to look at the way that WWE books their shows and books their characters in 2022 and likely going forward. We're not really in an era anymore where there are multiple protected guys or even multiple main event guys. There is one full-time main event act in that company, and it's Roman Reigns. And then there are people like Brock Lesnar, who are part-time acts, although he's been a little bit more full-time recently. I don't expect that to continue following WrestleMania, but we'll see. And then there are the old reliables, exactly like you point out, the Kevin Owens, the Sami Zayns, even someone like Happy Corbin at this point. Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. These are guys that are counted on week in and week out to carry the shows, to do the main event matches. They can be rotated in and out of main event angles as they need to be, and they can be pushed off to the side and put in smaller angles like Randy Orton in the tag division when there isn't room for them at the top of the card. That's the way that WWE books its shows now. They don't have a whole swath of perennial main eventers. They just have Roman Reigns. So, yeah, Seth Rollins is absolutely one of those guys. He definitely fits the Kevin Owens mold of he's going to be on TV pretty much every week, probably cutting a promo because he's very, very good at it. He's going to give you a good match nearly every time you put him in the ring, but they're not going to protect him because the next week he can come out, do it all over again, and get some of his heat back. Now, do I think that there's diminishing returns to that, and do I think that the company as a whole would be better off by protecting acts like Seth Rollins? Absolutely, 100%. But that's not the company that they are, and that's not what they do. So yeah. Looking at things the way that they do it, Rollins is in a position to lose to Cody Rhodes and lose absolutely nothing other than in fact, he stands to gain because he's going to be one of the most talked about moments of the entire weekend because he's going to get the Cody Rhodes match and everyone is waiting to see Cody Rhodes back in WWE. As for the idea of Seth losing anything by losing to someone of Cody's stature, I don't think it matters if you have seen Cody in AEW or if you've seen him on the indies. If he's presented like a star, he's going to be a star. I mean, Cody has star power himself. He exudes charisma. He made himself a star on the indie scene. He made himself a star on AEW. I mean, they got a national TV deal, yes, with Jon Moxley and Chris Jericho, household names that were on WWE TV leading the way. But Cody Rhodes was the main event guy. He was front and center, and they got a TV deal on that. So yeah. Rhodes can be at the top of a company. And not only that, we have proof and evidence of it happening in the past. Because, I mean, look at Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre didn't really have any mainstream television exposure outside of Impact after leaving WWE the first time, and he was treated even worse than Cody Rhodes was at the end of his run. And McIntyre came back as a main event act. So I don't think that there's any issue bringing Cody in and slotting him in the main event, and I think that's what his charisma level and his star power calls for at this point.
Yeah, and also, too, I agree. I mean, I think Cody and I think Kyle, you know, it'll be interesting to get your take on him when you watch him after his debut to see, you know, if he's kind of changed your mind on some things, but also it's his job to change your mind on that perception. I mean, that's part of the deal. That's part of what Vince McMahon is paying him presumably big money to do is to, you know, like, resonate with people that know Cody as Stardust. You know, that's an important thing that's going to happen here if it is him, which I think it will be, that comes in to take the Rollins match. Real quick, Brandon, to touch on Kyle's point about what Cody does after the win, if presumably he gets it. I mean, I think you do push him into the into a Roman Reigns program right out of the gate. Like,
yeah.
If you want to say in big bright letters, hey, Cody Rhodes is a new top attraction, even if that only lasts for a couple months, don't wait. I mean, Reigns should be pretty hot coming out of WrestleMania, big win there. Same thing with Cody. Like, you know, I see, you know, a confrontation on the post Raw SmackDown or Raw, excuse me, post WrestleMania Raw or SmackDown. Like, that's a potential big time moment that's worthy of those two shows as well. So Brandon, if it's me, I mean, I think I just double down on what they're going to do for Cody at WrestleMania, and you go with it, ride that momentum.
Yeah. For a couple of reasons. Number one, if not him, who? I mean, you have Drew McIntyre, and you're going to revisit that match eventually, but McIntyre certainly isn't being treated like a star right now. And you hope that he gets the win over Happy Corbin at WrestleMania, but man, you just never know. I mean,
oh, Vince, Brandon, don't put that out there.
Vince loves Corbin. I mean, like, I don't want to think that it's going to happen, but I think at best, it's going to be a lot more competitive than it should be. That is my fear. I do think, you know, joking aside, I think McIntyre wins, but I think Corbin's going to get more offense than he should. But yeah, I mean, that match with McIntyre is certainly there for them to go with down the line. But yeah, I think you go the AJ Styles route with Cody, where I mean, Styles had his, you know, his WrestleMania match against Jericho. He even lost. And then a couple days later, he wins that number one contenders match and kind of gets the crowd back on their side, because this isn't a super, super hot Mania lineup outside of their tip-top matches. And there's a possibility, depending on the way some of these matches go, that there's going to be some unrest with the crowd come Monday. And I think that if Cody performs well at WrestleMania, and it's clear that the crowd is into him and interested to see where it goes, that making him the number one contender right out of the gate could build some goodwill, the same way that they built goodwill by strapping the rocket to AJ Styles coming out of that Reigns and Triple H main event at WrestleMania, what was it,
32? Yep. Yeah, well said. Kyle, a lot there to respond to, if you want, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's going to be – it's interesting because, you know, when AJ Styles first came up too, when I had no idea who he was. So when he came up and he lost to Jericho at WrestleMania, then all of a sudden, the next night, he becomes a more contender and comes face to face with Roman Reigns. He actually ended up having those great matches at Extreme Rules at Payback that year. It became a big type name. I think what made Styles, I feel like, in my eyes, as a big type star, is when he defeated John Cena at SummerSlam that year. I think that's like, boom. And I was like, whoa. Then I saw him as like a big time star at that point. So we'll see if Cody Rhodes will do the same thing. I completely doubt it, because I think it also makes it different. I've seen Cody Rhodes before. I've never seen AJ Styles before. So it'll be really different to see how that will be, because I personally can't see it. But well, I guess time will tell with that. I think the last thing I'll leave you with is the women's tag team championship situation. I have a feeling that Sasha and Naomi are going to win, because I just think there's no other outcome there besides them two winning. I think, again, it'd be after that, be what are you going to do with these tag team titles, because there's no tag teams, and they have a great chemistry. I think just Sasha and Naomi, Rhea and Liv and Carmella and Zelina, I think you'll have a great chemistry together. I mean, I'm iffy between Shayna and Natalya. I think that's completely random right there. But anyway, what do you think they're going to do after WrestleMania? Let's just say if Sasha and Naomi win the titles, then what? These titles don't mean anything, even though Sasha's a big name. Hopefully she'll do something with them, because she's, you know, they treat Sasha as a higher level. She should be booked, really, should be facing Charlotte, in my opinion, at WrestleMania, not Ronda, but we are where we are here. But so if Sasha and Naomi win the titles, can he end up being somewhat credible, just like when Sasha won the titles with Bayley? You know, 2 years ago, I don't know, but you think about that, I'll leave you with that, but thanks for the call.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, thanks for making it, man. Always good to chat wrestling with you, dude. Yeah, Brandon, yeah, boy, I mean, that's the question, right? what do you do? You know, what do you do with those titles? I mean, I think Kyle's instincts on that are line precisely up with mine in that, you know, this looks like a match that Sasha and Naomi are going to win. It's a good, you know, a good moment for the show, you know, send the audience home happy as far as that goes. And, you know, but then it is more of like a then what kind of thing. I thought tonight's, you know, match between those teams was pretty clunky and not necessarily like a good omen for what it could look like at WrestleMania. Cause I thought that there was just some missed spots and just like awkward timing. I just didn't think it was a good outing for anybody. My answer, I guess, Brandon, is I don't know. You know, like that division is not a priority. It very much is a prop title at this point. And it's just like, hey, you know, if we're going to have these tag matches, let's put the belts on the line. But they really, truly, they mean even less than the men's tag team titles. And that's saying something. So, I don't know. I think, you know, you're going to get them on Sasha and Naomi, and then some heel team will take them off, and that's it. Like, I don't think this is the start of some big run for them as a tag team or an elevation of the women's tag team titles. I wish that wasn't my answer, but it is.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but nothing. The plan is nothing. I mean, like, I unfortunately, like, I wish I was wrong the same way that you and Kyle expressed already. But at the end of the day, we have enough history. We have seen enough from these women's tag team titles. The precedent has been set year after year after year since their inception. WWE does not care about them. They are a prop title. They do not have legitimate tag teams. They just throw the titles on whatever two women they want to feature who are not currently in a title program, whether those women are a tag team or make any sense to be teaming or not. So, yeah, this match is to fill time. It's to get a bunch of women on the card and give them their WrestleMania payday. It is a sad state of affairs that this is the best that they could come up with for Sasha Banks, but it is unfortunately where we are. I do think that it has potential to be a little bit better than this that eight woman tag tonight, if only because there should be a little less chaos going on. Mm-hmm. Though who knows? I mean, this is it does appear that it is a single fall match, sudden death. So that means there's going to be some chaos naturally for them to get to the finish. So it could be fun or it could be a huge mess. I don't know. but it's going to be one of the other. I don't really think it's going to be anything in between. But I just don't think that there's any plans beyond that. I can't imagine that there's anything waiting in the wings. I think, you know, they get a couple defenses on SmackDown, maybe a pay-per-view or two, and then they drop them to, you know, some combination of Shayna Baszler and Natalia or insert other heel of the week here. Like, they don't care. And it's unfortunate because I think that my preference for the women's division would be to get rid of these tag team titles if you're not going to take them seriously and instead focus on building some personal rivalries that don't necessarily revolve around the championship. They have no issue doing that in the men's division. There are plenty of matches that happen on pay-per-view that don't involve a title. So why are they not capable of doing that with the women? I just think that they had an opportunity here to give Sasha Banks a singles match at WrestleMania that wasn't for the championship. And I don't know what the right answer is as far as who is the opponent, but I just think that they could have put on a better match, more worthy of a spot on a WrestleMania card, with Sasha Banks having a personal rivalry with one of these seven women than right. They are having this random tag team match.
I don't know why either. And I thought, and like you said, it's not because there's not options, you know, because there are. I mean, even like somebody like Shayna Baszler could be heated mm-hmm. up enough for like a match with Sasha Banks. And, you know, so I think like your instinct is right. It's like, this is to get a lot of people on the card, period.
Yep.
Like, I think that, I mean, I think that's what it is. I think that's all it is. And, you know, I think when Sasha and Naomi win, it'll probably be a short-lived title reign because they need Sasha Banks at the top of the women's division. And, you know, that's where she needs to be as well. All right, let's keep it rolling here with calls, Brandon. We'll go to Reverend Keith out in Baltimore. Reverend Keith, thanks for calling. What'd you think of Monday Night Raw tonight?
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for taking my call. First, I want to give a shout out to Al Larcher, who has been supporting me greatly on Twitter. And thank you so much, Al. Thank you guys for taking my call. I do concur with your beliefs on some of the matches that you've already discussed with both Ryan and Kyle. Now, with the women's tag titles, as I mentioned with Greg last night, I would not be surprised to see them put the titles on Liv and Rhea because of the fact they are starting to develop great chemistry. And being that Liv put on an impressive performance against Becky and their blow-off match, I could see them really trying to build them as a team. Once again, as it pertains to Sasha Banks, they need to keep her fresh and ready for a singles feud. And unfortunately, as you guys just reiterated, they do not know how to book a women's feud without the titles being involved. So therefore, if I'm booking, as much as I love Sasha Banks and Naomi combined, I would rather see the tag titles on an up-and-coming team such as Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley and see where they go from there. What are your perspectives on that?
I mean, honestly, Keith, I think that's a better path for the women's tag team titles. Like, because you're not – I mean, honestly, this sounds bad to say, but it's kind of like if Sasha wins those belts again, given what those belts have been through and what they mean, like, I just think it's a little bit – beneath her to win those titles and doesn't do anything for her long term. But as you pointed out, you know, those titles around the waist of Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, like that can help make them a little bit and position them in a little bit of a better light. Not a great light, Brandon, but something better than just random tag team thrown together.
Yeah, I still think at the end of the day, even on Liv and Ripley, you're kind of just like, you know, looking to throw ideas at a wall and see if anything sticks because I mean, Ripley has held the titles for a fairly long run with Nikki Cross or Nikki ASH and they didn't really mean anything then. It's hard to imagine that they would with Liv Morgan, even though Morgan has certainly carved herself out a nice little spot in the women's division and the crowd has really taken to her. I just think at the end of the day, if the company is not willing to get behind the tag team titles and support them, then it's going to be really, really hard for any two women to make it work in any real capacity. And I was curious because I was thinking about this when we were talking about this match and the likelihood that Naomi and Sasha win the match. This is the second time that Banks has been shoehorned into one of these fatal four-way tag team title matches mm-hmm. at WrestleMania. And they went the weird route last time too. I mean, if you look at that match was Bayley and Sasha, Nia Jax and Tamina, and Beth Phoenix and Natalya, and the Iconics. And they went with the Iconics, like out of nowhere. And Bayley and Sasha had just won the titles, which were newly minted a month prior. So there is definitely precedent for them just kind of burying Sasha in this match and not giving her the win. So, yeah, I mean, they could certainly go that direction. I just think at the end of the day, it won't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Keith, back to you.
Now, I also agree with what you were stating earlier about the Bianca-Becky Lynch feud. It seemed like it reached its climax tonight, albeit five nights before their showdown. Granted, Becky deserved her receipt, but it could have waited until the match. You know, now it makes one feel like, okay, either A, Becky's going to retain by cheating, which heels do, or it'll be inconclusive and they'll still have a rematch at WrestleMania Backlash, because I just can't see Bianca getting this much of offense in snatching part of her hair and still coming out on top on Saturday night. Normally WWE doesn't book that way. So it will be interesting, gentlemen, to see how this plays out.
It will. I mean, it definitely will. I think that that angle tonight is a bit of a curveball as far as trying to analyze the booking here and where they might go at WrestleMania. I mean, the booking does not, like the A to B booking that we see WWE partake in month to month, year to year, like does not put you in a place where you say, okay, Bianca Belair is going to win the title after tonight. I just don't think it does. But Brandon, I just can't see her walking out of WrestleMania not the champion because of how much they've put into this story and the fact that, you know, she was damaged coming out of SummerSlam, and they've gotten to the point where they've built her back up, and she's in a position where, you know, she can like claim like the top spot in the women's division on be on par with Becky Lynch. Like to pull the rug out from her under her at this point again, just like they did at SummerSlam, or even if it is after a longer match, you know, a non-finish or a shenanigan finish or a cheating finish. Like I just think that will damage her again and just kick her back down the mountain that she's worked so hard and that they've worked so hard to climb with her the last, you know, 4 or 5 months. So, I mean, I think you're right, Keith, when you say, hey, like, that's not how WWE books. And you're right, it's not. But if I'm betting, I'm still going to take Bianca Belair because I think she really needs this win if she's going to realize the potential that the company clearly sees in her to be a top act in the company. Brandon, what about you?
Yeah, I think the story that they've told overall makes it seem like it's pretty cut and dry that Belair needs to win. But it's when you start to look at it at the micro level and look at what they did tonight that you sort of start to question it. And I think Keith is on to something with the idea that, you know, they're going to rematch some of these bouts on the card at WrestleMania Backlash because that's sort of what that show is. And to me, this feels like one of those matches that could get slotted for a main event spot next month. And in order to get there, it does feel like you might get like sort of a schmoz finish. And I think that WWE is going to feel comfortable if that's what they have, you know, in mind for this. I think that they will feel comfortable doing it, only because they have the other women's title match that night. They've got Stone Cold. They've got, we assume, the debut of Cody Rhodes. They've got a lot on night one that they can cover up the disappointment over going with a non-finish. So I hope that they're staying the course and they have, you know, a solid finish in mind where Belair comes out on top. But I've sort of talked myself into the idea that they have created a path for themselves to go with a non-finish to get them to next month where they can do the blow off. And I don't want this, but they set themselves up for a hair versus hair match tonight.
They sure did.
Oh boy. Yeah.
They sure did.
Well, can't take that off the table. I mean, and yeah. Wow. Reverend Keith, back to you. Anything else on this topic or something else?
I totally agree with you, Brandon. Now I see why WWE booked both women's title matches for night one. And this is why, because they can always have an out for Bianca versus Becky, being that they had already scheduled the main event to be Ronda versus Charlotte. So I'm sure that will be a decisive finish. But now they can always rematch Becky and Bianca, as you just stated, you know, for WrestleMania Backlash. But we shall see. But the way they portrayed it tonight, I just can't see Bianca getting out of hand the entire week. But we'll see, because I'm in Bianca's corner 100%, and I would love for her to go down in history as winning a women's world title on consecutive WrestleManias, you know, as she defeated Sasha last year in a superb match. And I would love to see her repeat that, but we shall see. Last but not least, I was happy to see Bobby Lashley return. I think that his match with Omos will probably end in double disqualification or double countout. I think they'll keep that feud going. And where do you guys see this going, this feud here? And I just want to say in advance, thank you guys for taking my call. It's always a joy. And let me know your thoughts on this, and we'll talk again soon. Have a good night.
You too, Reverend Keith. Great to talk to you as always. Thanks for calling. Yeah, Brandon, so tonight we got the return of Bobby Lashley, former WWE champion. He's been out since the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event, rehabbing an injury, but comes back, answers the call to challenge Omos, and is the first person to kind of take Omos off his feet in the WWE ring. So let's take this from a couple angles, because I think it's a interesting topic to discuss. First of all, what did you make of his return tonight in general opposite Omos? Just high level.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm happy that Lashley was able to make it back in time for WrestleMania. I think that he's had a really good year and a really good last couple of years for WWE. So it's cool to see him able to make it back in time to get a spot on the show. I liked this more than I thought I would. I have not been high on Omos at all. I'm still not. But I think that this worked. I think the stare down felt appropriately big for WrestleMania. It doesn't feel like it has a lot behind it, but it also doesn't necessarily need it, because I don't think Omos can really carry his end on the promo side. So I think if you had set this match up weeks ago, it would have sort of felt like we would just be sitting around waiting to get on with it. So it feels a bit like an old school special challenge, and I kind of like that.
I do too. I thought this was well done, just well done top to bottom tonight. I mean, for what it is, like, you know, this is going to be a middle of the card breather type match. It's not gonna last long, and it's an attraction type thing. And I think you know, both guys just played the role well tonight. The Bobby Lashley, like the fired up returning babyface, Omos, just the big monster in the ring, like that works. Like, wrestling can be that. And, you know, I like diversity in wrestling cards in general, in terms of style. And this is definitely going to be a different style match come WrestleMania. And I think, you know, Bobby Lashley came across as a pretty big star tonight. What, Brandon, is his future, you know, moving forward? I mean, I think, you know, you kind of had this match penciled in for him because you weren't sure if he was going to be able to make it back, so you couldn't invest in a bigger feud. But, you know, he is a former champion. You know, coming out of WrestleMania, regardless of whether he wins or loses, or this is a, you know, some kind of schmoz finish, like, where does he fall in your hierarchy of acts on Monday Night Raw?
I mean, you certainly have to slot him near the top, just for lack of other options. I think they need him. I think they need him near the top of the card. I think the idea of Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins was tossed around for a bit there before it was, you know, it was looking like he may not make the show. So I think that's probably a direction they go. Maybe this summer, something on the you know, upper mid card. So I think that they can go in that direction. There's also the subject to visit of, you know, what happens with the world title picture on Raw following, you know, we presume that Roman Reigns is going to win. He's primarily stationed on SmackDown. That leaves Raw without a world title. Does Reigns travel back and forth? Yeah, maybe. But we've also heard, you know, reports from various sources that have stated that WWE's plan is to carry forward with two top world titles. And I would imagine that is what both Fox and USA want. So if USA wants a world title on their show, I assume they're going to want it pretty quickly. And Bobby Lashley is certainly someone to consider to carry that belt the same way that Seth Rollins is. So I think that he'll be right near the top of the card, and I think that's where he should be. And I do think that to kind of bring it full circle back to this match against Omos, I think that we have seen enough from Omos at this point to safely say that it's not there. And I don't mean like, you know, fire the guy tomorrow, but I don't think that Omos is at a spot or will be at a spot anytime soon where it's worth spending a loss for Bobby Lashley against him. And by that token, I don't think doing a non-finish helps Lashley either. I think the crowd will see through that. So I think this is really a time where you just go with Lashley strong, have it be put over big that he was the first guy to defeat Omos, and then do what you need to do with Omos. But I just don't think that he has shown enough for me to feel like it's worth investing in him on that level.
Well said, and I agree. Yeah, this, and again, like I don't think you like want to do too many of like these schmaz finishes on the WrestleMania card. We've already talked about potentially a handful of them, and so I'm with you. Like I think you go unless there's some bigger angle at play that gets that nets Omos a win. You go with Lashley here, and I think if they do some kind of tournament thing for the vacant WWE Championship or something else altogether, like, you know, he's strong coming out. I think the audience, clearly tonight they were behind him. They wanted to cheer for him. The babyface turn seems complete as far as Lashley goes. So, yeah, I think this is a moment to put Bobby Lashley over strong, short, sweet. And, I mean, Omos will be hurt a little bit for a little while, but it's not like he's beating, top tier talent right now anyway. You know, he's undefeated, yes, but it's not like he's not knocking off like the top stars on Raw. It's very much squash level stuff with the bottom of the card.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that if they were feeling as strongly about Omos as they were in the beginning, I don't think that they would be going out of their way to have him beat such insignificant talent. I think that by now he would have gotten a win over someone a little bit more prominently featured. And I know there's the AJ Styles thing, but clearly when they split the two of them up, they wanted to get AJ as far away from Omos as quickly as possible. And AJ is clearly in a better position now than he was in that feud or in the tag team with Omos. So they moved on from that very quickly. And I think that may be telling the story that they're not as high as they once were on him, but they've invested too much time at this point to fully give up. I mean, if you look at other big men that WWE have pushed even just recently, Braun Strowman took several losses, and Braun Strowman is far and away better than Omos at everything.
Yeah. Good point. All right, let's get back to the phones here. We will go to Charlie in Chicago next. Charlie, thanks for holding tonight. Thanks for calling as well. What did you think of Monday Night Raw?
Hey, guys. How you doing? So I was jumping around a little bit tonight. I had some stuff going on at home, but I was tuning in, tuning out. I was on the show last week because I was at the Allstate Arena show. And did the on-site correspondent duties for Wade. But yeah, kind of just echoing some stuff I talked with him about last week, I've been so wrapped up in, AEW, as a lot of wrestling fans have been, kind of as they've risen. But recently, in this WrestleMania season, I've been wanting to, just be more in tune with the WWE product because, like a lot of us, that's what we had for the longest time. And as much as I like to dog, WWE's bad booking with, you know, everyone else, which, you know, sometimes they deserve it. I do want this company to succeed, if nothing else, from a creative level. So I'm trying to find the sweet spots with the WrestleMania build this year. I guess the first question I have, joining a little late in the show, but what are you guys most excited for this weekend? I mean, it's going to be a really long weekend, and I think a couple years ago was the first time I ever fell asleep watching WrestleMania just because it was going so late, and I felt so, I mean, God, I woke up in the morning, it was like I never thought I'd see the day that this happened, and like, it was, you know, it's just fatigue. I don't know. Take that for a minute. What do you think?
Yeah. For me, that's a pretty easy question for me to answer, at least. Brandon, chime in too. But Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar is the weekend for me as far as WrestleMania goes. Like, there's some other good stuff on the show, both shows. There's some misses on both shows, but that match, again, I think when you look at, you know, and tonight is a perfect example of just, you know, trotting the stars out there, letting them talk, letting them sell the match, and that's it. You don't need the bells and whistles, go home segment of like a hair cutting or anything else. It's like the champions with microphones telling you what they're going to do, selling the match. I think that just puts a cherry on top of what's been a really well-told story. And I think if you look back at the past, you know, whatever, 7 or 8 WrestleManias, like, I don't know that you can, I mean, find me a better main event than that. You know, going back to WrestleMania 30 for me, like, it's like the Daniel Bryan story. And then, you know, I don't know that you have anything better between now and what they're going to go with this Sunday. So it's really intriguing. I think both guys have been protected. The story's been a long-term arc. It hasn't overstayed its welcome. It's simmering at the right time. And, you know, now they got to pay it off with a good match, no question. Like, I don't think this can be your, you know, 5-minute Brock match. It's got to be, you know, more significant than that. And I think they know that. So without question, Brandon, I'm going Lesnar Reigns as far as what I'm excited for most.
Yeah, I am too, and there's several reasons for it, and some are just on, you know, as a fan, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the build has been really good. I think it's been a long-term story that we don't always get with WWE, and a well-told one at that. I think, unlike some people who are a little bit more down on the match, I think it's really fresh at this point because you have the switch in roles. I've been really, really enjoying what Brock Lesnar has been doing as this babyface, you know, like cowboy character. I think it's cool to see him just really genuinely enjoying it, because for a long time, every Brock Lesnar appearance just felt like, I'm here to collect my $1 million, and I don't really care if my segments are good. I don't really care if you like me or like the segment. I'm just here to get paid. And that is just flipped entirely. I mean, he looks like he is having the time of his life every single week. And I don't think that's a side of Brock Lesnar we've ever seen in WWE before. So as someone who sort of admires Lesnar as an athlete, that's been really, really fun. And Roman Reigns is on another level. And I think tonight, go home promo from him really, really put the match over the top for me. And then from an analyzation perspective, I just think that it's really, really cool to see a main event of WrestleMania where unquestionably the top two stars in the company are facing each other. We haven't had that in a long time, and there's always an argument from people in wrestling media, from fans on Twitter, on social media, what have you, that there's a better main event out there, that they should have done something different. And I just don't feel like that's a legitimate argument this year. It just feels so clear that this is the match, and it's time for them to finally have this incarnation of this match happen, and a really big crowning moment for Roman Reigns. And I thought that what really drove it home for me tonight was in Reigns' promo when he said that, you know, he's done everything at this point, but he hasn't beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and that's what he needs to do. I thought that just worked. It's classic pro wrestling storytelling, and I loved it. So that is far and away number one for me. But the analyst side of me, the side of me that, you know, likes seeing all the differing opinions on Twitter and likes enjoying sort of big WrestleMania moments, I'm really excited about the Cody Rhodes debut because I love kind of watching what it's sort of like the fantasy booking come to life. Like, what does this star from the other promotion look like, sound like, feel like, move like when he gets to the other promotion? And I know that we've seen Cody Rhodes in WWE before, but the Cody Rhodes that left WWE in 2016 is not anywhere close to the same Cody Rhodes that's returning in 2022. So I'm really excited about that as well.
Well said, Charlie. What about you? Where are you leaning going into the weekend?
I think you guys said it perfectly with Brock and Roman. And someone might have brought it up earlier, but him doing the crowd work and playing into the what chance tonight, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Brock, that's so nice. Well, I mean, like, just having fun. And, like, you know, you've been watching this monster for years, and, like, you know, I think anyone that's a Brock Lesnar fan has thrown on the UFC post-match interviews from time to time where he's just so full of himself and so just like, I love it, you know, like, you know, eating up the crowd hate sort of stuff, and just to see him having fun is a lot of is good. And, you know, just him really owning the role now of, I'm going to help this company, which I won't say that, like, he's never had that mindset as being a performer or, you know, professional wrestler that primarily works for the WWE. He wants Roman to, he wanted someone to step up, you know? I mean, he got so much hate after WrestleMania 30 when he beat the streak. And, I mean, is this 38? Is this WrestleMania 38? Are we 8 years later?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, and, I mean, it's debatable, but it made the most sense. And if nothing else, even if you still don't like it to this day, I mean, debatably, the streak should have never ended. But I think they made the decision, and then they owned it, and they used him correctly to help the company as a whole, because he was, you know, he's the guy that – he was the biggest star who had the most time left as a wrestler to compete with all these guys and to give the rub to all these guys, if nothing else, to get in the ring with these guys and give them a shot to, like, you know, prove that you're worth it to be in the ring with Brock. But yeah, I'm really excited for Roman. You know, the head of the table has been a character now for, it's going to be about 2 years this summer. And it just keeps getting better, and no one wants it to end. And I think, you know, I was in the crowd at Royal Rumble 2014, which that was the Batista year. So I think when he was in the final two, people were still more on his side. He was still in the Shield, so he still had the fan favorite side to him. But, like, I don't think anyone is disappointed with him now. Jumping over to the Cody thing, I completely agree, Brandon. I think when he comes out, very few professional wrestlers in the game right now sell emotion like Cody Rhodes. I mean, we can all feel how we feel about him leaving AEW, but I think, you know, AEW is going to be fine. And someone needed to probably step out of the main event scene with how full that roster is at the top. In many ways, him leaving was him gifting guys there some more airtime, you know, some more main event time on their only four shows a year. But they're going to introduce him, and that crowd is going to go unglued, and he's going to walk out and have that, you know, I'm sure he's going to well up. You're going to see the tears in his eyes and the magnitude of this moment. The guy that everyone loved for years, everyone, you know, hardcore wrestling fans, we loved Dashing Cody Rhodes. We loved the Rhodes Scholars Cody Rhodes. We loved the Cody Rhodes that brought back the classic Intercontinental title, the guy that had that amazing match with Randy Orton on SmackDown. And somehow he left. He was part of this revolution to start a new company, not to, you know, take the buzzword, but, you know, he was part of that and helped lead that. And now he is going, you know, to get his real shot, and it's going to be awesome. And I think Seth is a perfect opponent for him. And I think that match will steal the show. I think that will be the best match Saturday night, bar none. And just to talk about a couple other matches or segment and match that we haven't talked about just now, Kevin Owens and Stone Cold will be fantastic. And also, I'm really happy for Sami Zayn. And I think Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville are going to have an awesome match. I fully expect multiple Jackass cast members to come out and get involved, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, Sami Zayn's another sleeper. I think, you know,
hey, Charlie,
he could keep doing this character.
Charlie.
Oh, sorry.
Real quick, I want to touch on the Austin thing first before you dig into Sami Zayn, because I want to try to make sure we keep this Monday Night Raw, because we'll do a SmackDown post show Friday. So I want to keep this to Raw. But I'm glad you brought up Steve Austin, because we had another really solid promo tonight in the ring from Kevin Owens. It was not complicated, Brandon. It was pretty simple. It was pretty to the point, but I also think it did the job. Owens is out there doing business right now. Like, it's his job is to build anticipation for the Austin return, the Austin pop, the glass breaking, and then, you know, to sell like $1 million when Austin hits the ring. Like, I mean that's it. And I think to that end, like, Kevin Owens with these performances is showing the kind of pro that he is. Like, I think he understands what his role is here, and he's executing it to a T. And then you layer on top of that a pretty cool video package for Austin. And I think that's going to be a really hot segment. And I think it has a ton to do with Steve Austin, but Owens has done more than his part in his fair share in building this thing to get it as hot as I think it'll be. But Brandon, over to you, because we haven't spent a lot of time on Kevin Owens tonight yet.
Yeah, I mean, Owens is in a unique position where he has to build this segment entirely by himself, which is a feat, I mean, for anyone to accomplish. And it says a lot about how strongly WWE feels about Kevin Owens that they're willing to put him in a position like that. Because, I mean, they could have just announced this segment and then moved on. But they have made sure to send Owens out there every single week to talk his trash and to continue hyping it up. And he's done a really, really good job. I mean, for a guy that technically doesn't have a match at WrestleMania, he sure is in one of the most important spots on the whole card. It's cool that he's gotten such a prominent role. And the same goes, I mean, even though we're not talking about it in detail, I mean, the same goes for Zayn. Like, you can clearly see that Zayn is having a great time with the Knoxville angle, based on, you know, how he's handling the Twitter stuff and everything. So yeah, I mean, Owens did a great job tonight. He's done a great job throughout. I'm still not super high on the language they're using to get around the fact that this won't be a match. Like, I would rather them just be clear about it. I mean, like, it is the KO show. It is not a match. There's not going to be a referee. There isn't going to be a 1-2-3, you know, so much as it matters. Because I at the end of the day, like, I don't think people really care. I think they're just excited to see Steve Austin in this capacity. It's not like he is a guy who comes around very often, and it's not like he's a guy who overstays his welcome when he does come. So Steve has been very selective about the appearances that he makes, and it makes him very, very valuable when he shows up. So, yeah, this is going to be a big moment. It's going to be a cool moment. And even though Owens is going to get beat down, I mean, this is going to be one of those things that Owens tells his grandkids about. I mean, he got beat up by Steve Austin at WrestleMania.
Right. Yep. No, I agree. Charlie, back to you. Sorry for interrupting you there, but it was a good topic that we hadn't got to, so I wanted to make sure to touch on it. Anything else, Charlie, Raw related tonight?
I got one thing with Owens and one with RK Bro. What's your guys' bet for the Steve Austin attire? I'm going with the when he had the Eric Bischoff match. I think he came out with the jean shorts and the vest. I don't know if he'll go shirtless. I think he could pull it off, but I don't think we've seen Steve with his shirt off in a long time. It's going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be really good. And I think it's going to be jean shorts and some new T-shirt that's going to sell like hotcakes in the next few days afterwards.
Definitely.
I think one of the interesting topics here with this segment is, does it close the show? Because, man, Owen certainly sold it as the main event of night one, and you could call it the main event without it actually closing the show. I get the argument for doing it that way, but I don't like it in that slot. I think you want to close WrestleMania with a true match, but it is night one. So, I mean, they could get away with it.
They could get away with it. And I think that's going to depend a lot on what they have planned for the finishes in the other matches. Like, if they go to Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, and that is some kind of non-finish, obviously you can't go with that. Ronda and Charlotte, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but, like, I don't know that that's ready for the main event or will be. And,
no.
And then you just put anything and I mean, I guess you could do the Seth thing at the end. You know, you could do that. But is anything going to top the Austin stuff? Like, I don't know. And it's like you stunt whatever comes after it if you put it on too early in the show. So that will be fun to watch.
One interesting thing to note there, and this doesn't necessarily mean anything at all, but I was on the WWE live events page, and night two, the image for WrestleMania is very clearly Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, and for night one it is Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense from a match perspective. I think that's the hottest match that they have on night one to go with, unless I'm forgetting something. But yeah, so makes sense to me. Charlie, back to you. Any other final comments for us? You said you had something on RK Bro.
Yeah, I do think Bianca takes it and has another title win to end night one if they do close with that. I just think that would be the way to go, but who knows? They might want to repeat endings. With RK-Bro, I mean, they say leave them wanting more, and they're so over right now, and you'd hate to see it end, but I think the way to go is for them to lose the titles. And knowing WWE, they would probably save a heel turn for Raw on Monday, but I think I would love to see them lose in a shocking way, maybe similar to like when Bayley and Sasha lost, and have Riddle turn on Orton. But again, I think, a couple years ago, they did the Shinsuke turn at the end of the AJ match. And I do think heel turns, unless they're in the main event, tend to get lost in the shuffle. But, you know, we're talking about the most stupendous WrestleMania in history, and let's throw it all at the wall. Yeah, and I guess last question, any dark horse theories, anything you guys have, you know, for any part of the weekend? I did hear one cool theory prediction from Sean Ross Sapp at Fightful. I mean, it was less of like a big story, but it was starting the show Saturday with Owens and Austin and having the segment kick off the show and the actual fight come out later in the show, which I think could be fun. But those ramps are so damn long, it's hard to imagine having any of these things broken up. But yeah, that's all I can really think of, for now. Thanks for taking my call, guys. It's always fun talking to you.
Hey, yeah, Charlie, always a blast, hearing from you too, man. And, yeah, your, work last week was great. So yeah, thanks for calling and make sure to call again.
Yeah, we'll do. You're in Chicago too, right, Zach?
I am. Yeah. Born and raised.
Hey,
gotta get some good weather in here.
Cool.
It's cold, man.
I know, I'm Sunnyside in Uptown right now, so maybe I'll see you around town. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Yeah, yep. Take care. Thanks for calling. All right, we'll wrap up the color portion of the show there, Brandon, and let's hit a couple emails here before we put a bow on this thing. Just want to give this more time and kind of saving up more, like, bigger discussion for this email, because I knew we had it sitting here. But it's from Matt in South Carolina. And he goes, I think Roman has now done everything he can to quiet any critics. The one last thing people say he couldn't do was deliver a big-time go-home show promo. Well, he sure delivered that tonight. Some great work. I agree with this very much so, Matt. I think that promo, that's what, you know, you needed to see from Roman Reigns going into this match on Sunday. And to me, it just, that was, you know, your top star in the company, you know, doing what top stars in wrestling companies do, you know. And I thought he was clear, emotional, but, you know, succinct and just confident. And the presentation was there. The reaction to him was there too. And then you also got to see Reigns, like, as I said earlier in the show, like play off the audience, like use their reaction and play back with something of his own. And so that was good. So to me, he checked a lot of boxes tonight, Brandon. I'm with Matt on this. Where's your head at on Roman Reigns these days? And did anything to add to his analysis of the promo?
Yeah, I loved everything Reigns did tonight. And I think at this point, if you are still in the camp of doubting Roman Reigns and what he brings to the company, I think that there's probably some bias there, maybe left over from the babyface run. I'm not saying he has to be your taste, but I think at this point it's fair to say that everyone should acknowledge, no pun intended, you know, how important he is to the company and how far he has come. I thought, like I said, everything that he did tonight was excellent. I loved the intensity, the fire, the change in his tone throughout the promo, because he's been someone who has been very even keeled in his promos, and sort of he speaks sort of like that in that low register with the sort of like the smooth growl almost. And tonight, like, he yelled, like he his voice got up there. He got in Jimmy and Jay's face when he said that his family doubted him. I thought that was a really good throwback to everything that they did a couple of years ago, and something that I hope they revisit before too long, because if I were to have any complaint about the Roman Reigns character, it's how they have sort of stripped some of the nuance away from what he was doing with Jimmy and Jay. I thought that character work was so strong in the beginning, and it feels like in recent months, as he's established himself more as, you know, the head of the table and the dominant Universal Champion with the Acknowledge Me gimmick. It feels like they've gotten away from some of that. And I would really like to see them revisit the story with the Usos, because I think there's a lot to draw from there, and there's a lot more story to tell that they haven't uncovered yet. So that's really like my only complaint about the direction that character has taken. But other than that, yeah, I just thought that this was when you draw up what you want out of a go home WrestleMania promo from your top star. I mean, this checked every single box.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got a polarized opinion on the other side of the coin. Zach in Texas. Gentlemen, my anger just diminished when they canceled that pointless asinine women's tag match with Becky, but I'm sorry this show didn't get me excited for WrestleMania. I know the last time he was on, Brandon tried to convince me that this was a good card and that Roman versus Brock was different this third time around. I'm sorry. All I see is the WWE title being held hostage to prop this match up. Roman and Brock are excelling in their roles, but let's be honest, Brock's not beating Roman, so Mania ends flat. I think Austin opening the last can of whoop-ass on Kevin Owens is more anticipated than that match. Logan Paul, Johnny Knoxville, and Pat McAfee are on the card, as are Baron Corbin and Omos. Becky and Ronda are horribly miscast in their roles, and after tonight, Becky might go over, even though it should be Bianca's time. The rest of the women are just relegated to a match for belts that WWE can't be bothered to think about 11 months out of the year. And Lord help us if we get that double wedding this week, this weekend too. I'm sorry, but this card is terrible, and I got to wonder what Cody thinks about jumping back into this muck. Zach in Texas. Zach, thank you. So Brandon, you know, what do you make of that email? I mean, I think we both disagree fundamentally on where Roman and Brock is. I don't get too hung up on, or generally speaking, if the story is good and the performances are good, I don't get too hung up on, oh, it's clear that this person is winning. Like sometimes that's just how it should be. Steve Austin against The Rock at WrestleMania 15. Like I don't think anybody really thought that The Rock was walking out of that as the champion, but it didn't mean that the match or the build was bad. Like it's just, sometimes that's how it goes in pro wrestling. Like just same way in movies, like, you know, that in the, you know, your standard action movies that the, you know, the babyface protagonist is going to go over you. That's definitive. And so it's definitive here too, I think, but to me, that's not an issue. But Brandon, what do you make of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, predictable doesn't necessarily mean bad in pro wrestling. Predictable can be bad if it's predictable in a way that, you know, everybody sees the finish coming from a mile away and it's groan-inducing because it's not what the fan base largely wants. I think we stepped into that territory often with Roman Reigns when he was a babyface. And on the flip side of the coin, it's the same way that unpredictable can be very bad too, because if you are just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and your booking is unpredictable in that way, you don't know who is going to win because there's no rhyme or reason to how you book, that can be equally damaging. So I don't necessarily have an issue with predictable booking in the main event. I mean, yeah, it seems clear that Roman Reigns is going to win. He's never beaten Lesnar at WrestleMania. It's his last, you know, big accomplishment. And I think that is a good story to tell. And I think they've told it well. But I don't fault Zach for feeling like this isn't a strong card overall, because I think It's getting marred by the fact that there are a lot of weak matches on a show that has been stretched too thin over the course of two nights. I mean, I'm looking at the card on WWE's website right now, and just real quick, without giving it much thought, I could take, all right, so let's go Lesnar Reigns, Flair Rousey, Lynch Belair. That's three matches there. So Edge Styles, that puts us at four. Let's take the Austin and KO segment. So now we're at five. Let's take Rollins and his mystery opponent, six. Let's take Knoxville and Sami Zayn, seven. You can put Rey and Dominic and The Miz and Logan Paul on the pre-show. Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin on the pre-show. And I think now you've got a really solid WrestleMania card. You leave the rest out or you move it to WrestleMania SmackDown, WrestleMania Raw, whatever the case may be. And not that I want to leave all those wrestlers out that I'm leaving out, but those matches don't feel like WrestleMania matches.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. I mean, like, to me, like, you put on the best WrestleMania that you can, and some people will get left off, and that's just how it goes. But I think you articulated, like, look, that's how you get from a two-night show to a one-night show, and you did it in about 15 seconds. Like, you know, so, you know, that tells you that they are spread way too thin, and I think it's good to call that out, like, because WWE and Vince McMahon in particular have a history of very much focusing on, you know, the top tier matches. Like, it was, I think, you know, Wade has had numerous writers or WWE writers on the show, on his shows, saying like, hey, you know, Vince would say, you know, what's for Austin, what's for Rock, like, and then that's it. And so,
yeah,
you know, you can hear him say the same thing, what's for Roman, what's for Brock, like, mm-hmm, what's for Becky, you know, and there you go. So, like, I think that is very much those fingerprints are on this show, and I think it's exasperated with the fact that it's two nights now too.
I'll throw McAfee and Theory back on that hypothetical card only because I think that's doing good business for them because of how popular McAfee is and how much traction they're getting from his show. So that feels like, even though it doesn't feel like a, you know, it's not going to be a great match by any stretch, although it could be fine. I mean, McAfee has proven himself to be pretty decent. It feels like a WrestleMania spectacle type thing. So
yeah, for sure. All right, one more topic before we finish up tonight. What did you think of the Edge promo? I it was short, and I don't know that I put too much, you know, thought into like, hey, this was good, this was bad. It just kind of was there. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get any time on SmackDown this week. So as a go home segment, I'm kind of giving it a thumbs down.
Yeah. I was hoping we were going to get to this. And I think that the fact that we just talked for 2 hours and spoke with several different callers about various topics and went through emails and never once brought up this match kind of says everything about how it's been built. And that's really unfortunate because I was actually, when we were talking about things that we're looking forward to most on the card from a wrestling perspective, I don't know that we're going to get any better than Edge and Styles on this card. I mean, maybe Cody and Rollins, if they really pull out all the stops, but this should be a really, really good match. And it feels, it just feels underwhelming. And I point to Edge for a lot of that. I was against the heel turn, and I know that the best scenario is never to go into a big match like this with a babyface versus babyface, where it's just all about I respect you, you respect me, let's go put on a great match, la-di-da. I get that, but I think I'd argue, like, man, are we getting anything any better than that out of this? Because it seems like Edge has already lost something in turning heel, in getting rid of the original Alter Bridge music. That entrance is such a big part of the show to bring the crowd up. I just feel like the turn came out of nowhere. It's overacted, and Styles is playing his part fine. I mean, like, his backstage promo tonight was fine, but it doesn't scream WrestleMania to me.
No, I think I'm with you. Like, nine and a half times out of ten, I think babyface versus heel is the way to go. No doubt. I think that's the easiest way to tell good stories that get the audience reacting the way that you want them to. Like, I think that's a tried and true in professional wrestling. But every once in a while, you have those moments that aren't. And even though 9.5 times out of 10, I'm picking babyface versus heel, there was some just an excitement when AJ Styles came out and confronted Edge right out of the gate. I mean, there was a buzz there in that audience, and I think you could have left it at that. Like, to me, like, that was enough. Like, it wasn't a main event. Like, it's not for a title. It's just straight up dream match, and I think that's what people wanted it to be. Like, I don't think people wanted it to be this good guy versus bad guy thing. The story was there. Two guys who have been in the business a long time and who have done a lot of things and have won a lot of championships are now in one company at the same time and can collide head on. Like that, they had it. I think they had it there, and they choked the life out of it with the heel turn.
And there was no impetus for it. I mean, like, Edge just came off of this feud with The Miz where he teamed up with his wife and it was the grit couple. And like he had been incredibly over. I mean,
right.
Know.
Yeah.
And they had already tried the heel route with him. Like when he wasn't getting the reaction they wanted for the match with Reigns last year, or at least the reaction they were perceiving given that there were no crowds.
Right.
They went with that sort of tweener role and put Bryan in the match. And you notice what happened as soon as WrestleMania was over. Edge was a babyface again because people just want to cheer the guy. I mean, he's got this incredible story, this incredible comeback. People like him. They like his matches. They love his entrance. They like his attitude. They like his promos. And, oh, by the way, he's one of the known good guys in the business. So why? I mean, it just seems like this feels to me like this is something Edge desperately wanted to do before he officially retires, and he wanted to go all in with this new character, or it's just incredibly shoehorned, and he's just trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I mean, I kind of think that like come WrestleMania. All of this is just going to kind of fall by the wayside anyway. Like, and it's just going to end up being what it should have been, which is just Styles versus Edge in a really good match.
Yeah.
You know,
I just wish that if they wanted Edge to be the heel for the match, I think they could have without going so far as to have him attempt murder, because then it seems really ridiculous if and when he just suddenly becomes a babyface again.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If Edge was just kind of acting like a jerk and they cast him in the heel role and he sort of upped the rated R superstar persona, if he just like turned that dial up a little and cut the same promos in the sense that he's saying, you know, I need to dig into my past self. I need to dig into the more ruthless Edge in order to achieve what I want to at WrestleMania and beat AJ Styles. I think that achieves the same result because you get Styles as the clearly defined babyface and Edge is playing the heel for the night. But then when WrestleMania is over, Edge can just return to being Edge. Whereas now, like I said, he tried to kill him. So,
right. Yeah, man. I mean, this is an example of just somebody over there, Edge, WWE writers, Vince McMahon, just being too cute, you know, and it just didn't need it. It didn't need it. All right, Brandon, we'll wrap up there. We've went long here. We've got a long week ahead of us, and as do our listeners. So we'll put a bow on it there. Before we wrap up officially, though, go ahead and just tell everybody about the work you're doing with PWTorch.com and what you have on tap again for WrestleMania weekend here in a few days.
Yeah, sure. So for PW Torch, I cover pay-per-views. So formerly it was exclusively WWE pay-per-views. As of now, so the next AEW show, I will be doing AEW pay-per-views as well. So you can catch my coverage of WrestleMania and then all WWE pay-per-views going forward, as well as AEW shows starting with Double or Nothing in May. So looking forward to that. That is always a lot of fun. And you can also catch me covering the Hall of Fame on Friday if you don't want to. to watch along on Peacock. And you can follow me on Twitter at BLeClaire12 if you'd like to talk wrestling or movies or music or football or any of those things. And like I said at the top of the show, I will actually I'll be attending my very first AEW show next week after WrestleMania. So I'll probably be posting some pictures and whatnot and little tidbits, live observations from my first AEW live experience. And I haven't talked to Wade yet. Maybe potentially call in for that show, although it may be a little tough given the transportation situation getting out of Boston. But we'll see.
Exciting stuff, man. Thank you very much for joining the show today. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to our emailers. Again, Wade's going to be on the VIP side of things a little bit later tonight, running down all of the happenings on tonight's Monday Night Raw, pwtorch.com/govip to check out all that you get for VIP membership. There's not a better week in the calendar year to go VIP. We will have you covered on all things WrestleMania, all things WrestleMania weekend in Dallas. We'll have you covered at pwtorch.com as well as the VIP podcast feeds as well. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Haydorn, and you can go VIP and check out my VIP audio show on the Canvas, a show that Brandon has frequented a couple times. Discussion on the art of pro wrestling. That's what we do. We take a current event from the week, and we kind of break down the art, the performance of it. Last week, we broke down the Becky Lynch promo from last week's Raw and just kind of went frame by frame through that. I thought it was an excellent promo, and we it's about 45 minutes just on that promo. This week we'll of course have a WrestleMania preview show. We'll preview both nights of WrestleMania top to bottom and grade the build. Again, keep it locked to pwtorch.com all week. We'll have you covered on all the breaking news coming out of Dallas, as well as show reports, detailed show reports with analysis on obviously WrestleMania, SmackDown, the NXT Stand and Deliver show, but also a lot of coverage on some of the independent shows that are happening over the weekend as well. GCW is the Collective has some really good shows, and we'll have you covered on that at pwtorch.com all week long. Brandon, one more time with your social media ahead of a busy weekend.
Yeah, sure. At BLeClaire12 on Twitter, if you'd like to follow along as I do a bunch of coverage this week.
Fantastic. You can follow me on Twitter at ZHaydornTorch, and you can follow the PW Torch brand on Twitter at PW Torch. That does it for us tonight. For Brandon, I'm Zach, and we will catch you guys next time.